Dimitri, do me a favor. Would you take that clock off the wall there? Serious. I'm in one of those predicaments again where I got too much for one and not enough for two. And I don't want that to distract my possibly giving all the clarity that I need to give. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these last few days. And Lord, we could go a little smidgen longer tonight, but we'll probably get to bed earlier than we did last night. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us. Those that are tuning in and watching, Lord, I pray give me clarity. And Lord, help me to relay what you showed me. And Lord, in your book, Lord, realizing, Lord, that it's the way to go. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This study in the heart has kind of been, I felt like a kid on the midway, you know, with a free pass to go on any ride you want, all day long. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to go on. I don't know if I should go on this ride again or go on that ride over there. But as Butch would say, it's all good, bro. It's all good. The series has been building on itself, the sub-series within the series of Malachi. So you're going to have to go back to live stream or sermon audio or whatever you go back to, because it does build. And if you just get what's today, you might not get all the principles. It does add upon itself in the physical realm. In the physical realm, I've learned that my heart is a treasure. When it is weak, I'm weak. When it's broken, I'm broken. And when it gets hard, I'm getting to have a heart attack. Amen. And although my brain cells may call the shots for my heart, without the heart, my brain doesn't have a body to control. So I'm gonna be careful with my physical heart. In the spiritual realm, my heart is the same way. It's crucial to the function of the body, and therefore it is a sought after treasure. We've studied the complexities of the heart. We've studied the vulnerability of the heart. We've studied the potential good of the heart and the inherent evil of the heart. We've learned that God wants it all. Why does God want it all? Because he's some control freak that just demands jurisdiction over our hearts? No. The reason we give our hearts to God is because he's the best heart keeper. He's a better driver than me. He searches the hearts and tries the reins. So when we say, what do you mean give your heart to God? You just say, here, God, you drive. He can see in the dark. He's not prone to accidents like we are. So when we give our heart to God, we let him control. We let him steer. We let him drive. And that is keeping or guarding my heart with all. The heart is a powerful tool. Where the heart goes, we go. The heart has great potential for good, especially in the service of God. You get your heart into something like the service of God, and you get God's blessing on someone whose heart is all in, you're nigh invincible for the cause of Jesus Christ. But unguarded, the heart can cause a lot of damage. Kind of like a gun. I always think about guns today. Guns are used to protect. Guns are used to provide. Guns are used to defend. Guns are used to bring guns. Gun enthusiasts. I've seen enough and shot enough. I've been at gun shows where there's probably 10,000 guns. You know what I've never seen? I'm sure it exists, but if one exists, I wouldn't pick it up. A gun without a trigger guard. See, a lot of power, a lot of potential for good in that gun, but every gun has a trigger guard, and thus the heart ought to have guards. We've studied the vulnerability of the heart, are prone to heart attacks. I'm not going to go back over everything, but I'm going to guard against God taking. That's a dangerous place to be. I'm going to guard against ungratefulness. Romans 1 tells me that that's the beginning of the ungratefulness of the heart being darkened and a road to just complexity of sin. I'm going to guard my heart from self-will and pride. That's how the devil got his start. I'm going to guard my heart from the disloyal. Why do I guard my heart from the disloyal? Because I can't handle it. My heart doesn't need any help to rebel. It doesn't need any assistance to convince me what idiots authorities are. So I don't want to give that hearing. I'm already bent that way to be satanic
in that way. Can I say this to the parents with this crucial Bible principle of guarding our hearts from the disloyal, knowing what is at stake, knowing that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If your if you or me or my children turn from what is right and manifest it. Everybody's got struggles in their heart. I'm talking about manifesting it verbally or behaviorally. Can you have some grace with friends that might pull back a little bit because they can't handle it? Not because they're cold and judgmental and don't want to see this person get through, but most of us don't need any help to rebel. And if you think your 15-year-old can handle it, being around a rebel that's manifesting it, I'm not talking about trying to get through now. I'm talking about voicing it and behavioring it. If your 15-year-old will do better, they'll do better than those innumerable company of angels that fell with Satan. They'll do better against men that Absalom stole their hearts and rebelled against David. Better be careful. Have a little grace. Have a little grace. Let people chart their own course. Don't go judging everybody because you feel judged. It's all an attempt to keep our hearts with all diligence. Tonight, a profound principle. Just a principle. Do you have a chapter and verse? Someone asked me, is this your opinion or is this the Bible? It's the application of Bible principles. We've lost that. If there's not a chapter and verse, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we sin. No, we must apply biblical principles. We must put shoes on what we read. It's a matter of faith and practice. I know this. God wants my whole heart. But once He gets it, within His confines, I can share it with others. And I can actually get help and be blessed and get strength in numbers, yoking my heart up with other hearts. One of those is the blessing of marriage. Literally, giving my heart to another person. You parents know the joy of having children. The Apostle to his spiritual children, I have you in my heart. And if you think it's something when you have children, wait till you have grandchildren. You look at that little thing and it's like, that thing, something about that thing is in here. That's a wonder. That's fantastic. Paul had it for the brethren. That's a little tougher. So in this realm, I'm going to give my heart all to God, and then I have liberty to share it with those who have also given their heart to God and who have my heart in their best interests. Now, class, especially young people in the class, can you think of anyone on the planet that might have your heart outside of God in your best interest? How about your parents? Proverbs 23. This is a young man marrying age. Now, I want you to notice two things he doesn't say. I want you to know two extremes he didn't say. He didn't say, boy, long as you're in my home, I'm going to give you a whooping when you need it. He didn't treat him like a child. Likewise, he didn't say, you're 18 now. I saw you blow those candles out yesterday on your birthday. And it's like the Holy Spirit just fell on you. Here's the car keys. Have a nice life. Call your own shots. That's stupid. He treated him like a man. And here's what he said to him. My son, give me thine heart. Why did he have to ask? When he was young, he had it. The glory of children
is fathers. You know why he had to request it? Because son grew up and realized dad wasn't Jesus after all. He realized dad had some issues. She realized dad had some faults. He realized dad had a temper. In fact, when he looked close, he kind of realized dad didn't quite have it all together as he did at 18 years old. So within the realms of the confines of giving God my heart, the Father says, my son, give me thine heart. There is no one like parents, no one better than being the great heart caretakers of a young person. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. You say, but it's not easy. Wait till you get married after 5 years and see if it's always easy to give your wife your heart every day. And it's always easy to give your husband your heart every day. It's not easy. But God will bless it. See, you, when you get on equal playing field with your parents, as in young adulthood, you don't understand, especially till you have children. Is Jenna 16 years older than Cola? 17 years older. When Cola was born, she's zero. Jenna, 17. You know what I see when I look at Jenna? I see that. In fact, Jenna's 30-something now. I still see that. When my ones that live out of town have a baby, and we go for the first time to see the baby, I don't look at the baby. I go right to that girl. And I say, you're the baby I want to see first. You know what? I got her in my heart. And you know what you could bet? I got her best interests in my heart. And you know what you could bet? I've been along the road a little bit longer. Even if I have messed it up, I've learned. Learn cheap, young people. Learn cheap. Learn cheap. So I give God my heart. I say, would you take the steering wheel? And in those confines, he says, okay. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Oh, and then he says something. He says, and observe my ways. Are your ways observable? What's the first thing he warns in the trigger guard? He says, son, give me your heart. Why? For a whore is a deep ditch. The first thing he goes after is the women. Street whore, church whore, school whore, it doesn't matter. Why? Because listen, God has, we're talking about principles. God has wired us to give our hearts to the opposite gender in marriage. But we are still in this sinful flesh. So once in a while, we have real good tendency to get our wires crossed. And that's where our heart's caretakers come in. That's where the help comes in. Now, note, we don't walk around paranoid about these things. I've seen parents just be wackadoodle about this stuff. You shouldn't even be thinking about that. Why are you thinking about it? You shouldn't even be thinking about talking to that person. Why are you thinking about talking to someone? Easy. You're going to make them a nutcase. It's okay. It's good. But his... So he says, a whore is a deep ditch. He warns him against women. You've got to do this thing right. Then he warns against wine. You know what Hosea said? He said, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Now, you can justify all you want about those three things. But from my past, looking at that, help yourself. I'm not going to go near it. Why? It takes away the heart. On the one hand, God says, guard it. And at the same time, he has a plan to give it. And herein lies our test of faith, an opportunity to prove God and maybe see his best in our lives, always understanding that we are in flesh and nothing is guaranteed as long as we are on this planet. I'm going to give my heart to God. I'm going to give my heart to those who have my heart in theirs. Mom and dad would be a great start. And then if God sees fit to provide a spouse, then I get to give my heart to them. The Song of Solomon said, "Thou hast ravished my heart. I sleep, but my heart waketh." Bill Dare reads this to his wife. He's poetic, you know. "Set me as a seal upon thine heart." Or as the old song said, two hearts that beat as one, our lives had just begun. It's wonderful. But it needs a trigger guard. The Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote Proverbs. He wrote the Song of Solomon. He wrote the book on love. 1 Kings chapter 10. And man, did God bless him. Oh. First Kings 10:23, "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom." And I just want you to think, as you're reading this, at your spiritual level and at your emotional level and at your academic level, just compare yourself with this man as we read. "For riches and for wisdom, and all the earth sought to Solomon." I wonder who seeks for you and I tonight to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. "And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor and spices, horses, mules, at a rate every year. Solomon gathered together his chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed the cities and chariots with the kings of Jerusalem." And it goes on and on and on and on. And the guy that wrote that love song of Solomon, at this time in his life, his kingdom was as close as the kingdom of heaven being on earth in the history of the nation of Israel. It's like God himself was reigning. But you know what he did? He let his heart's guard down. And he opened it up to what was not lawfully his. And the one that comes to kill and to steal and destroy did not appreciate Solomon giving glory to God any more than he appreciates you and I giving him glory. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy what God has planned for your life. Deuteronomy 7, 1 Kings 11. Deuteronomy 7, 1 Kings 11. We're talking about principles tonight. Deuteronomy 7:1. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whithersoever thou goest to possess it, and he has cast out many nations for thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his son shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." 1 Kings 11 and verse 1. Remember, Solomon, the Bible says in 1 Kings 3:3, love the Lord. However, but Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites. Oh, that sounds familiar. And the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Zidonians and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart from after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, really? I bet if he got 701, he would have been satisfied. Princes and 300 concubines, and his wives. What a shock! He married an unsaved girl, and he's not in church. He married a girl whose heart wasn't in. and he's not in church. She got stuck with a guy that was a good kid. No, he wasn't. He was a nice kid. We learned that, right? Where'd they go? What did you expect? You've got prophecy before your eyes. And the world, wow, they had some beauties there. And the flesh, and I want it. And the devil, yeah, that's right, you want it. Turned his heart outside of God's lawful guardrails, and it destroyed him, and it destroyed his people, and it destroyed his nation. What? Just letting your heart's guard down for the wrong person. His father. Listen, are you better than him? You say, why are you saying all this? I'm trying to teach you a principle about this thing and how much control it has. And if you just throw it around like a playground ball and let it land where it will, it might get kicked. David was a man after God's own heart. There's a principle in the Bible, my eye affecteth my heart. One night he looked out the window. I don't know which version of windows he was looking out. But by the time it was over, a man was murdered, judgment was passed, and his family was shipwrecked and divided and never the same again. Do you see how in the same breath, this man and woman in guarding and giving thing can be a curse and a blessing just with a little turn of a heart, just with a little laying down the guard of a heart? Remember Amnon had a friend. He loved his sister. He loved his half-sister. Can someone love their half-sister like that? Without a trigger guard, they probably could. Call it love, call it lust, who knows? But by the time it's over, I'm trying to show you a thread through the Bible of how this thing will get you in trouble if you just throw your heart around like a playground ball. He was dead. Her life was ruined. He didn't have her after all. Go to Genesis 34. It happens over. We don't have time to cover it all. I'm trying to show you principles of what happens when you let that guard down. Not paranoia. That's going to ruin the good part. Genesis 34:1. Come from a good family. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the what? Remember them in Deuteronomy chapter 7? Prince of the country. Oh, he was dead. He's successful. He's nicer than some of the church guys and certainly more educated. Prince of the country? Yeah, and you ain't going to be having to worry about giving the missions with him. Might get you a car. He loved the damsel. I'm trying to picture this scene. Spake kindly unto the damsel. Oh, there's the playground ball. There it goes. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Well, I missed something there. And he took her, end of verse 2, and lay with her and defiled her. You notice what word is missing? Forced. This was consensual. You let your heart down. And when you let your heart down, the body follows. And by the time it's over, people are dead. People are divided. It's a mess. Judges 14. Better be careful about that heart. You say, preacher, why are you saying, what do I have to gain if you do or don't do what I say? What do I have to gain? You say, then why would you say it? You just want to control us. You're up. I have you in my heart. I want it to go good for you. Well, my parents, they did it without God. Yeah, maybe God saw what they're dedicating. I know it's the case with me. God saw, because there's no woman on the planet that would have put up with what she put through when we were young and dating. But God winked at my ignorance and said, I know what's going to happen later, so I'll give them a little grace now and don't doubt the scars that we carry with us. Judges 14, verse 2. And he, Samson, came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman of Timnath, the daughter of the who? I bet she's a beaut. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Now these are the people that worship their children. Not just when they're babies, that's bad enough, but when they're 20. Little mama's boy. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren and among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Yes, sir. I bet he has some big muscles. I bet she was pretty. You know what happened when they got together? She was loyal to her people and her family more than to her husband. Why are we shocked? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know what? Samson was blind long before he got his eyes poked out. Well, he's in Hebrews 11. Don't get in Hebrews 11 that way. And you know what? He never did end up with Delilah. I wonder where she was. I wonder if she got crushed in the rubble too. I'm telling you, you've got to be careful about these things that we're not paranoid. Enjoy it under the blessing and guardrails of God. It is wonderful. Don't just throw the ball out on the playground. You want it? You want it? You want it? It's liable to get kicked. I'll spare you of a study on the sons of God, whoever they were. I don't care what you think. I hold to that they were the fallen angels in this dimension, the sons of God. And they came into the daughters of men and giants were born under them. And Acts, those Greeks said, the gods are come down. What are the gods? Zeus and Thor and Mercury and all those ones. And what are they, about 12 feet tall with muscles that make Aaron look like a peewee? And they produce giants. Somebody let their guard down. I'm trying to show you, married or not, you have a treasure in here more than the Holy Spirit. It's called your heart. It's vulnerable. It's volatile. It can be stolen, darkened, hardened, and deceived. Or it can lead to the greatest blessings on the planet. I would encourage you to, number one, give it to God. Number two, give it to those who have you in their heart, because we all need heart health. What we call courtship is just a practical way of applying what we've been learning for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Guarding while giving our hearts. Not giving our hearts until we get the counsel of those who have me in their hearts. Because at 18 and 15 and 19 and 20, I need a little help. At my age, I need a little help. You know what he knows? Almost all my heart secrets. Why? I need help. We'll talk about that maybe Sunday. Here's what I'm not going to do tonight. I'm not going to dot your I's and cross your T's. You know why? Concerning logistics and methods, because the Bible doesn't. It's very general. But I know this. Those young men in that Bible, those heavy hitters, when it came to this subject, they respected their father's voice. And I believe that the Bible isn't particular on purpose, so it leaves space for us to put shoes on the principles that He's laid out in our circumstance, in our situation. And when you try to force something that doesn't fit, it's like passing a kidney stone, and that's no fun. Guarding the heart while giving the heart. I personally don't think recreational heart sharing or dating is conducive to living by these principles. Listen, I'm in churches where the junior highs are paired off. Now, let me say this. We have ideals. Then we have reality. Rarely does our reality meet our ideals. But we don't abandon our ideals because they don't match up with our reality. Practical application. I don't know why I did it, but I looked at the height and weight chart today. And according to the height and weight chart, my ideal height for my weight is 6'6". Now, we know it can't work that way. So the ideal weight for my height is 160 pounds. Sam, how much do you weigh? 20 pounds less than Sam. My BMI, body mass index, is under the obese column. Good news, 2013, it was in the morbidly obese column. Morbid, doesn't it mean like you're going to die? You're so fat, you're going to die. You know what? My ideal, my reality match the ideal. In fact, I kind of think that ideal is a farce. All the heavy people say amen. But I don't abandon my ideal. I shoot for the ideal. Pastor, you're 100 pounds overweight and you don't seem to care. I'm a realist. That's ideal. Maybe if I shot for the ideal, my real might get a little better. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your eyes. Don't trust your feelings. Now, I didn't say don't go by a little something in there. John Marshall used to call it animal magnetism. That's probably a little bit too crude for this pulpit. But come on, I like you, do you like me, circle yes or no, you know, that little thing. I mean, I've had daughters, I said, why don't you consider this? Just ask God. No, I'm not asking him. Why? Because I'm afraid he'll say yes, and I don't like him. All the girls said, hey, man. Give your heart to God. Give your heart to those who have you in their heart. It's going to happen. You're going to be 13, 14, if you're like me, more like 9, 17, 18. You're going to get talking to someone in a little, remember the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb, or something going to go boop, boop. And you're going to start to feel a little withdrawal out of the bank. And here's the first thing you got to consider. It's normal. It's okay. If mommy and daddy told you, if you're thinking like that, you're wicked. They're nuts. But I got to ask myself a question. Married or not? Boop, boop. Number one, is it lawful? If it's not lawful, you better guard that trigger. Number two, is it time? If you're in high school, it's not time. Guys, leave that girl's heart alone that's 15 years old just because she saw you and she smiled and she flatters you and she thinks you're cute doesn't give you license to treat her heart like a playground ball. In fact, if you really, really, really liked her, you'd do everything to guard her heart from you before it's time. Are we talking principles? Is this okay? If you're still in high school, it's not time. If God is not number one in your life, it's not time. Well, I got to lock it up, though. What if they get away? is God in your plan? Is He bigger than that? Did you give Him the reins? If God's not number one in your life, it ain't time. And if the one who holds their heart isn't aware, I don't think it's time. Because it doesn't belong to you. Just be friends with everyone. Put God in your formula. Let me give you some practical thoughts about today's environment. Unfettered social media is a gun without a trigger guard. Singling out someone before the time and permission is a gun without a trigger guard. Stealing someone's heart is like breaking into his or her parents' house and stealing their money and jewels. And you know what that Bible says? It says if you come in and steal because you're hungry, that guy might let you off the hook. But when you start stealing someone's heart, it's destroyed churches. Is it lawful? No. Better put that trigger guard. Is it time? No. Better guard that trigger. Are the ones who hold my heart aware? No. You better get some communication going. I had one of my older ones, so no one that's sitting in the room here, came to me and said, "Dad, I know this guy's a rebel, but I like him." What would you have done? I don't want to tell you what I was doing on the inside. I was being cool on the outside. "Oh, honey, you know, that happened. But you know this can't happen now. You got to guard that heart. I know you like the attention. I know it feels good. It's part of the thing. But don't you dare give your heart away." Don't claim ownership with your friends. If I got to use names we don't have here. If Susie tells Jill, "I like Mort," well, in Jill's mind, Mort belongs to Susie. But here's what you don't realize when you're young and you can't see past the nose on the end of your face. Did I say Judy? Whoever I said. You're interested in Mort, but Mort might end up your friend's wife. It's hard enough. I'm glad I only got two girls here that we went to high school with, and one couldn't stand me and the other one didn't know me too good. Hallelujah. You got to think. You got a little jealousy issues, and then you were doing your little Christian youth group dating thing in the junior high, and now he looks up to the row. Oh, she's looking at her. He went out with her in junior high. Are we being practical? Is this okay? But if the answer to both of those questions is yes, it's lawful. Yes, it can be time. Yes, those that have me in their heart are aware. Now I'm going to trust God by faith and enjoy it. Under the avenues of guidance and protection, instead of trusting my 18-year-old schmoozing, conniving, dark, wicked heart to do it myself because my parents are old-fashioned and they ain't cool and they don't understand. Yeah, but they trust God. And as I walk through and test the waters of compatibility, understanding we might not be walking with God every step of the way, walking with those that have my heart every step of the way, I'm going to let the line of my heartstrings out slowly and carefully, and I'm going to enjoy it because it's designed by God. And guess what? When the okay for that is given, then you got to go to the next stage and say, "Is it lawful for me? Because I want to touch that now." No, it's not lawful yet. And you got to go through the whole thing again. And guess what? When you do get down that aisle, oh, I love seeing these young couples. I think it's good. I think it's good the way we do it. I think it's closest to Bible principle. And it just seems like so far the ones that have practiced it that way, they've been married, I'm going on years, they still can't get over each other, but they're here at this thing. Yes, I can finally give you my heart, my body, and my soul, the death to us part, everything's wonderful. And then one day he gets up and she got bad breath and he got to go to work. And 4 years down the road, and all of a sudden he goes in there, and the new secretary in there, and he just saying a few things, he had to get some copies, and you know what he needs to do? After marriage, ask himself two questions. Is it lawful? No. It's going to be till the day you die. Satan is after this. The flesh wants to follow the feelings. Principles. Principles. My heart is fixed. Now what are you going to do? I looked up at the clock and it's not there. Hallelujah. You know what Daniel did? He purposed in his heart. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make up my mind before. My heart is not going to be a playground ball. I'm not going to be paranoid about it. I get that little boop, boop. I'm wicked. I'm going to quit everything. Parents, Amy, you can come. Are your ways observable? Man, that puts the onus on us. That puts the onus on us. Son, give me your heart.
Dad, you don't show up to church half the time, and you want me to trust you with the rest of my life? Dad, you get mad and curse and say bad words, and the preacher don't know it, and you want me to trust you with my life? Now, I believe God will work through the froward. It's a clear principle in Scripture. Why don't we make it a little easier on them? I know what you're looking at on that computer, Dad. Observe my ways.
And the man that wrote that let down the guard of his heart, and it destroyed him and his family and his nation. Let's stand. The altar's open. Enough's been said. Pastor, what number are we going to sing? 580 tonight. 580.